Broadcasting live from the KSHP studios in the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada.
It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Happy Thursday. Welcome to the Odds Couple. This show is about sports betting. My name is Scott Pritchard. I'm a professional sports better handicapper, joined as always by Brett Grant. How are you, young man?
I'm doing well, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Exciting news. Las Vegas, we're simulcast on KSHP AM 1400 radio right here in Sin City. Live and worldwide, Vegas Video Network. I'm excited because we have a special guest.
Who is it?
By special, I do mean special. Dink, featured in the movie Lay the Favorite, starring Bruce Willis as Dink. Dink and I have been the best of friends since 1993. Colleagues, friends, fellow professional sports bettors. How are you?
Where are you taking me for our 20th anniversary?
Well, that's I'll have to check with Jacob Cannon.
Okay, good.
And see. You know, I mentioned yesterday that Jacob Cannon, for his birthday, about 2 weeks ago, we went and had dinner, and Jacob bought me dinner for his birthday. I said, Jacob, where are we going for your anniversary?
Very good. I don't know if I could be seen with you without with that hair, though.
You know, it's funny you say that because
last
night...
I think you got some extra, Dave. You might be able to get some.
I'm selling.
You got like a... I mean, you got the Rangers jersey on, Mark Messier jersey, but you're reminiscent of a little Don Maloney action. A little old Ranger action for
Dave
us.
Dave Maloney.
They're brothers. Don and Dave, right?
Yes. I was at the guy at season tickets in those years.
Last night when I reached out to Dink on Facebook, I said, listen, friendly reminder, excited about having you on the show for tomorrow. He responded back and said, does this mean I have to shave my head?
Yes.
Good news for you. You don't have to do that.
No bets. If the Islanders win the Stanley Cup, I will shave my head. How's that?
Well, we're talking sports betting.
We've got
Wow.
Anthony, did you hear that?
Boy, talk about stepping up. Way to get right into the fire here.
I didn't say the Wild. I took the second least likely team. Well, the third. I guess Vancouver.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 radio. Scott Pritchard, Brett Grant, Dink, as I mentioned, featured in the movie Lay the Favorite, starring Bruce Willis as Dink. It just came out on Netflix and Redbox, and I saw the movie recently. I loved the movie, but I think that might have to do with the fact I knew and recognized a lot of the characters. The critics, for whatever reason, do not like the movie. What's your take on it?
I think everybody agrees with you. If they know the characters, they like the movie. Unfortunately, about 0.0001% of the population knows the character, so it was a little bit of a tricky grasp, I think, for some people. Rebecca Hall played Beth, and a lot of people criticized her for playing very over the top, but we know Beth is a very over the top person, so I think Rebecca got it right, but for an audience that doesn't know Beth, it was a little bit of a stretch, and we know the business of gambling, and you know my wife, so it was easy to see the similarities in the characters, but for an audience that was kind of uninitiated, it was probably like watching a movie in a different language.
Well, now, Brett Grant, you watched the movie.
I did.
You didn't really know the characters outside of myself. What was your take on the movie?
I was just wondering how Bruce Willis, a man with no hair, played a guy with a full
well,
head full
of
hair.
Well, it's easy because nobody knows what I look like. So they just assume that this guy must look like Bruce Willis.
All right.
If he was playing Obama, he would have had a problem. But if he's playing Dink, that's not a big enough.
And Scott's
problem.
Character was a tall, skinny guy. I'm not sure how that worked out well either.
With hair.
Exactly. With hair. Yes. No, I enjoyed the movie.
Bruce should have played you. I see now what you were gunning for now. Yeah. In the sequel. You want
to have the Vince Vaughn guy play you or something. Going that way. Yeah, I like the movie from the standpoint of the gambling aspect of it and to see, you know, how it worked for the inner workings of it. And Scott and I were talking about this a little bit yesterday, just about, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on in that part of it. I think it's intriguing to a lot of people, especially somebody who's not a professional gambler.
Well, Dink has been doing this professionally for the past 40 years. I've been doing it for the past 30, and I go on record at my sports betting seminars that between the two of us, we have 70 combined years of sports betting experience, and I also think that we look good for 70.
It's good, yes.
But Dink really excited.
He's been using the same joke when we were 60. It was 10 years ago.
But the audience always changes.
Yeah, the audience does.
Yes.
I do a sports betting seminar.
I would think you have the same audience because you have a lot of followers.
Well, what you have, well, when we do the sports betting seminars on the Strip at Harris 2 to 3 times a year, the week before the regular season kicks off, and then March Madness, and, of course, the Super Bowl weekend, the audience changes each and every time. So right. That joke always works, whether it's 60 years, 65, 70, and one day, hopefully, 95 years,
yeah,
I'll be saying.
Yeah, we have a pendant for 17 years from now, we'll be doing that joke as 95.
Dink, what are some of the tips, in your opinion, having done this for 40 years, what are some of the keys specifically to be successful betting sports?
Don't judge your bet on the last game you've seen, which is what we're going to talk about with Golden State and San Antonio and the overreaction to, like, an excellent performance and forgetting about what got them there in the first place. I think people overreact to what they've seen recently and that they've now assumed that these two teams had a clean slate when they started this series and were equal because they've seen two games with Golden State lost a heartbreaker and might have been the better team and was clearly the better team in game two. So I think the public now thinks Golden State's better than San Antonio, and they may have a little come up and when game three and four is played.
Well, the San Antonio Spurs, I mean, congratulations to the Golden State Warriors, but as I mentioned to you off air, congratulations to the Warriors. Now, at San Antonio, Golden State, they are now 1-30.
Yeah, I was shocked. I mean, I'm not a basketball better. I'm a hockey better. So basketball is my weakest of the four sports. Hockey, baseball, football, and maybe, you know, a basketball opinion. I don't watch the NBA playoffs because I'm watching the NHL playoffs. I watch as many games as I can, so I have no moments for the NBA. But I'm aware of the scores, and I might have stolen a good number here or there, so I might have a bet. But I don't have an opinion. So this is just gambling theory of an overreaction, you know. And you told me the shooting, of the three-point shooting, which I've seen a couple of the Golden State games because they finished after the hockey was over. So I saw Curry shoot out of his mind. And I know, you know, unless he's a Hall of Famer of Hall of Famers, this is going to be the high end of his performance capabilities. And, you know, the team runs around for him. They run every play to him, and they just assume he's going to hit, you know, 60% of his three-pointers. And just statistically, he can't keep that up because that's not his MO for the whole regular season. So unless he plays out of his mind, I would imagine San Antonio will definitely win one of these two games in San Francisco, you know, on the road, and maybe both. So I was shocked when I woke up this morning and there was a 2.5 out there with Golden State the favorite. I thought San Antonio would be about 2.
Well, that's actually what I made the line. I made the Spurs. They're a very good road team. The big thing with San Antonio is they're proven. They've won 4 NBA championships, the big three. They're healthy. They're hungry. And the thing is, with Klay Thompson last night, pick your poison. I mean, you have Curry, who's the man, but last night held to 22 points, but Klay Thompson went off. Pick your poison. Who are you going to contain, Curry or Klay Thompson? This guy had 29 points in the first half, but Pop made the necessary adjustments in the second half. He only had 5 in the second half. The problem was it starts and stops with three-point shooting. The Warriors were around 50% shooting long range, whereas the Spurs were a pitiful 5 for 21. But it's amazing to me, the series price yesterday going into that game as a 7-point favorite for the Spurs, they were 10 to 1 to win the series. Now today, one game, talk about an overlay or an overreaction with the Golden State Warriors, and yes, I realize they've covered 11 straight games, congratulations, and they're doing it without David Lee, but I made the Spurs a small favorite at Golden State, but the fact is 3 of the next 4 games are in Oakland.
I was just going to say the same thing. You know, Klay Thompson was 8 of 9 yesterday from three-point range. That's ridiculous. It's a statistical anomaly that you're going to shoot that kind of percentage that Dink was just talking about. But yeah, 3 of the next 4 are in Oakland, and the Spurs, at the end of the regular season, have not played very well on the road. Now, they weren't healthy in a lot of those situations, and I have not been impressed from what I've seen in the first two games from the Spurs. I could see the rust factor in game one, but they managed to win. Very disappointed in what I saw of them last night, thinking that they were basically blown out of the gym last night, and they rallied in the second half but still lost by 9. Are you a little concerned about the Spurs?
Not really.
Bad home games?
I'm actually, I look at it, and that's why I love the NBA because the better team generally will win. While I respect Mark Jackson and what the Warriors have done, again, let us not forget the Spurs are still the favorite to win this series, $1.80, $1.90, depending upon where you see this. But I have a little bit of a concern, but not much, because I really feel talent wins, cream rises to the top, the best team generally wins. The only concern is the Warriors, they're naive enough to think that they have a shot at winning this series.
Yeah, but usually those teams, when things go bad, they kind of fall apart and they get the shot selection gets worse and worse. It just hasn't gone bad for a while.
Well, and you saw that happen in Game 6 against the Nuggets. The youth, the inexperience for Golden State, they blew a big lead late, and even Game 1 up 16, 4 minutes to go. So I do respect the Warriors. I respect their coach and the fact that they're at home, but I like the San Antonio Spurs to take at least one of the two games in Oakland. Hey, there you are. I had my back to you the whole time.
Thanks for that. Hey, Steve from the online chat has a question. Dink said that he would shave his head if the Islanders win. Will you do it on the air on the show?
Oh, sure.
Awesome.
All right.
That's win the cup, not win this series. Yeah, you got it. Good.
Well, knowing Dink, there's probably no chance. Are the Islanders even in the playoffs?
Oh, they're 2-2 after four games with the number one.
The problem
one
is they don't have Brian Trottier or Clark Gillies or any of those guys. Yeah, Mike Bossy or Billy Smith or anybody that
they have.
That
I think they
cups.
Have a chance to win this game. I think they have a chance to win this series, but they still have three more series to go. My bet's a little more safer than yours.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, step out a little bit. I mean,
hey, there's other teams that have less chance than the Islanders.
Well, I know
Vancouver's already playing golf.
Minnesota will be playing golf tomorrow. So.
Is a big hockey guy. Dink, I know you're a big hockey guy. This is what Dink does. He's a niche bettor from the standpoint he bets hockey. Not my forte, but I'll let you guys go at it. It's kind of a foreign language to me, but I know there's a big game tonight, NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. Montreal at Ottawa. Yeah. It's 3-1.
Fortunately,
Montreal favored by 20 cents. The total is 6.
Five,
yeah. Is there a difference? A huge difference.
There is a 6. The other game's a 6 with the Islanders.
That's the Islander game. You got them mixed up.
But a game 6, the total is 5.
Hockey does the playoffs right. They play every other day, pretty much. So there's 4 games in the first round. There's 4 games every day. There's eight series, and they play 4-4-4-4-4 almost the entire time of the series. To me, it's amazing that there's no NBA playoffs tonight. And to me, it's amazing that there was a game on Tuesday and the next game is on Saturday. It's kind of a joke.
Well, the funny thing is they advertise 40 games in 40 nights. Oops, apparently not in a row.
With one exception,
apparently not in a row. It's like the donut shop. We're open 24 hours.
I mean, they couldn't play.
Not in a row. We're just open 24 hours.
Right. They couldn't play the Knicks game tonight. They had to skip till Saturday.
Well, how about the Grizzlies? Again, same thing. They don't play till Saturday. They didn't play yesterday. Right. So in the middle of the series, I mean, they've only played 2 games. Do you really need a rest? I get annoyed. I go to the Big A in Anaheim to see the Angels play, and it's like, wow, a week or two into the season, Albert Pujols is not in the lineup. Why? Rest. He needs rest. Really? He's played 7 games. Give me a break.
And he plays that dangerously first base position where you don't move that much.
Right.
Anyway,
or he's DHing.
Well, yeah. I want to hear you guys.
I'll ask you a couple of hockey regarding the Islanders and the Penguins. That series tied 2-2. From a betting standpoint, those games have been flying over the total. They finally made the adjustment to go to 6. They were sitting 5.5 for a long time.
But yeah, the last game was 6, and that went over, and today is a 6, and this will probably go over too, because I can't see Pittsburgh, you know, holding the Islanders to less than 2 or 3 goals. And I don't think they're going to change and become a defensive team. That's not what they do.
This is very
reminiscent of the Flyers series last year. It's the exact same series played again. Fleury is now choking on every save he makes. You know, he's struggling with the puck. And the Penguins are so gifted offensively, they're not going to change that posture. So they give chances back to the Islanders.
It's reminiscent of the 1980s. Edmonton Oilers, and just the way that
Western
Conference
was. Yeah, except the
Oilers
would just blow you away 7-2. The Penguins are playing you 5-4. And they're the best team in hockey going into the series. And the Islanders were an 8th seed and just snuck in, you know, kind of barely. And they have one great player and not anybody else who's an exceptional player in Tavares.
He's terrific.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer, but I guess Okposo is their second best player, and you know he would be the 7th or 8th forward on Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh has, you know, maybe the 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8th best forwards of the the Islanders have one of the top eight forwards in the game. The goalies before the series, you would have put the Penguin goalie better than the Islander goalie and by a small margin, with a choke factor in the back of your head. And the defense, they have Letang, and he's way better than anybody the Islanders have. So, right. I mean, the Penguins have the advantage in everything and a massive advantage in the forward scoring positions. So the series was 4-1. And now, tonight, I'm taking 2-1 on the Islanders, thinking, you know, they think they're going to win, and Pittsburgh is worried about winning this game because they've become pretty even, which happens in hockey. Teams catch up to the other team, and by the fifth or sixth game, it's like coin flips, and you get some good value with dogs. I don't think that changes that much in basketball. I think each game is – I don't know how basketball works, because the more you lose – the better the Bulls look, the worse bet they were in game two. So, you know, well, they won a game plus 12, so we'll make the line 13 because Miami has to win this game. Well, they have, they're supposed to win the first game too. So I it doesn't work in the way I look at a hockey game. I can never look at an NBA game and use that logic because it just doesn't work. I follow the score in the Pacers Indiana Pacers Knicks game, and I said, wow, the Pacers just blew the Knicks out at home. Probably a good bet plus this one, an extra half a point in game two. I think I took some 6-05. 64-62 Pacers. I said, I knew this was, you know, they're going to be no worse than competitive here. This is a great bet, plus six. And I think I got outscored 48-3 or something. And it's like, ah, stupid basketball. Why do I do this? Like, every year I logic something out in a hockey mindset, and it doesn't come true in a basketball game.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio. We're live and worldwide on Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor handicapper featured on my site, PritchardsPicks.com, VegasInsider.com. Tim Donaghy, former NBA official, has a site, reached out to me a few weeks ago. I am now one of the featured handicappers on his site, RefPicks.com. I'm joined by Brett Grant alongside my good buddy Dink, professional sports bettor for the past 40 years, featured in the movie Lay the Favorite, starring Bruce Willis as Dink. Our good friend Beth Raymer is played by Rebecca Hall. Dink's wife is played by Catherine Zeta-Jones. The movie is out on Netflix.
I married
and
well.
You did, man. Oh, man. Did you ever?
Overachieved. Huh?
I did by a wide margin.
Catherine Zeta-Jones has nothing on Gale, or in the movie Tulip, your wife. Vince Vaughn is in the movie as well. Check it out. From a critic standpoint, check out, see just how bad the movie is. I respectfully disagree. Loved the movie. Loved the characters. Enjoyed the storyline. And I know you were talking to Beth before we went on the air.
I tried to get her on, but she's a little gun-shy.
I spoke to her.
I think she's also past the Lay the Favorite stages in her life. She's writing.
She's moved on. We can't let go, but she's moved on.
Yeah, I can't let go because I have nothing else coming. The sequel hasn't started filming yet. I think Pee Wee Herman's going to play me in the sequel.
The studio line is open, 702-221-7283. Beth Raymer, we would love to hear from you again. And she's a little bit mic shy. I spoke to her a few months ago about the movie, and it's crazy, man. It's the same Beth that I remember from years ago when she stepped into your sports betting office.
She hasn't changed. She will never change. She's a unique character, has a different way of seeing the world. But after a while, you start thinking her way's probably the right way. You know, we're all, you know, she has fun in her life. Her life is fun. Yeah, you know, and you always struggle and wonder how good a writer you are when you write, but she has the most fun of anybody I know.
When I talked to her a few months ago, she's in Florida working on book number two, soon to be book number three, and I asked her, based on her life experience, the fact that a published book, Lay the Favorite, which has turned into a movie now, starring, you know, Bruce Willis,
that was
Catherine
Zeta-Jones.
That was the
first attempt at writing anything.
Right, and that's very interesting. And I asked her, based on her life experience, if there was one concrete message that she would share with a young person, and she thought about it, and she told me that basically keep an open mind, take more risks, and she embraces mentors, and she considered you. Or considers you, Dink, as a mentor.
That was her one mistake in life.
Well, we're all entitled to one mulligan.
Beth also decided to take up boxing and managed to reach, and because of her determination and will, managed to reach the Golden Glove Finals when she retired after getting whooped in the Golden Glove Finals at the Felt Forum in Madison Square Garden. So in 2 years, she became a I would say a renowned boxer, but a quality amateur boxer with absolutely no experience whatsoever, just a lot of will and a lot of heart.
That's quite an amazing.
And she didn't get knocked out by somebody who was probably a 30-1 favorite to knock her out. She lasted.
That's very interesting. You know, speaking about boxing, a very dear friend of mine, Eva Futch, who is the widow of the late great boxing trainer Eddie Futch, who passed away at age 89, she is going to be my guest at our show, in our show, Wednesday next week, talking boxing. They just had a big to-do at the MGM Grand where she spoke. She's a very beautiful lady, a sweet, sweet lady, the widow of the late great Eddie Futch. Boxing fans all know who Eddie is. Eva Futch will be joining us in the studio, and you're pretty, Dink, but she's a lot prettier than you are, my friend.
I can't believe that.
Shocking, shocking.
I don't we are. Understand.
Please, Scott Whitney, please do not ask Eva Futch to shave her head, all right? All right, great.
Or any other part of her.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP, Brett Grant, Scott Pritchard, alongside with Dink. So I want to talk gambling theories because, you know, in 20 years of dealing with you, we see things a lot the same way, but at the same time, we see things totally differently. I mean, we've talked before about, from a sports betting standpoint, you want to be on the move early or against it late. I'm an independent, progressive thinker, void of emotion. I always say, check your emotions at the door. I know when you watch a game, you're a freak. I mean, you get upset. You're screaming and yelling if you lose the coin toss.
I'm emotional.
You're an emotional wreck.
I think I do that as a mental exercise to keep me wanting to care about everything. I don't want to get blah and go, you know, it's okay, it's a game. Show me a guy who doesn't care about losing and I'll show you a loser. That's kind of my philosophy about the approach. I mean, after 10 minutes, I'm looking at another bet, you know, another upcoming bet. I'm not lamenting that game, but, you know, the end of that game, I might be, you know, cursing the TV pretty loudly. So I take it seriously. I take it as if I'm playing the game. I don't like to lose if I'm playing a game, so I don't like the team I chose who represent me to lose either, especially if they do stupid things.
I know that you're big on being first. We talked before about, I've always said that every sports bettor will make more money betting sports by perfecting four key skills: patience, discipline, money management skills, and the ability to shop and recognize value. Of the four, 30 years of doing this, I've learned, don't ask me how I know, money management is critically important. I've been hurt hard in the past for letting my ego, imagine that. Yes, I have an ego. Letting my ego get in the way.
That's why you have no hair.
It's true.
Check your ego at the door. You could be wrong. You know, you could be wrong, but you want to be well prepared. So you see a number, you're prepared to jump on a game. Like baseball comes out at 2 in the afternoon, and I'm ready to go with some lines that I've written down and might have a strong feel about a number. And if the number is very off from the number that is put up first, I want to get that bet down. And more times than I'm right than wrong. I mean, you have to be right probably about 70% of the time if you're going to jump in early to beat the closing line. And I can do that in baseball and hockey. Football, I can usually do it. I'd say 70 would be maybe a little high, maybe 65. And in basketball, I am just terrible. My gut instincts are always wrong in basketball. I don't do it. But if I do see something that is out, that's how I know I'm a super sucker in that sport. Like, if I can totally twist my theories to bet the other way for some reason, I would do
You'd
well.
Win.
But I don't want to go and approach, you know, I like the Golden State, so I'm betting San Antonio. It doesn't, you know, it would work financially, but it's not a good exercise in character because it will probably knock you down on your other sports if there's one sport you do well by betting against what you would like. So I ignore it completely, but I am wrong about the number. San Antonio opened 1, and now it's Golden State 2, and I thought San Antonio would go up. I'm instinctively wrong about these things, and I'm usually probably a 45% handicapper, too, so it's a double negative. It, not only am I wrong about the line movement, I'm wrong about the results. So,
well, it's important long-term to be
so my
right.
Ego in the NBA is even though I'll have something in my mind and go, ooh, I saw this or I did that, I am Joe Sucker in the NBA. I react to what I saw in one game usually. But the one time I didn't, which is the San Antonio game, I go, that's an anomaly. Golden State's not this good. San Antonio's not that bad. They played so many games during the course of the season where they were shorthanded and they came up big against Miami without three of their players. You know, to me, that this should be a team that no matter what the circumstances, especially with Golden State's best player not playing, that this should be a cakewalk series. So we're overreacting to two games where it obviously wasn't a cakewalk, and to a lot of heart and momentum that goes, they build up in those games, which if they're down seven after the first quarter, they may not be able to come back. We saw San Antonio could come back in game one in a tough spot because they have more experience and probably better players on the court. It's really simple. San Antonio has to have better players on the court.
Well, what you have, I mean, as a case in point, during the course of the regular season, I was at the Palms on a weekend watching the Warriors at home against San Antonio. And San Antonio, they were banged up. They didn't have their stud horses in the game. Yet the Spurs were a 5 to 6 point favorite. They led by 13 in the fourth quarter. Golden State came back, forced overtime, ultimately won the game. But there you have it. The Spurs were not 100%, and yet they were favored by 5 to 6 points at Golden State with David Lee in the lineup. And now, based on two games and the fact that they're hot, they're 11-0 ATS against the spread, the marketplace is catching up with that. We always promote the fact, don't bet on a streak to end. That's one tool. I don't just say blindly bet the streak, because in this case, I will be backing up the truck and unloading on the Spurs plus the points in Oakland against the Golden State Warriors, anticipating that the Spurs, a good road team, forget the fact they went 3-7 in their last 10 games. They weren't healthy. They were actually just getting rested, and we saw that once they played the Laker girls. They swept them, winning by 21 and 31 points the last two games, winning by a combined 52 points. So we're going to see how this plays out. You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, live, worldwide, Vegas Video Network. Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor. Check me out, pritchardspicks.com. Brett Grant, GM of KSHP. Dink, professional sports bettor, all-around good guy. I haven't been to the gym lately, but whenever I go, Dink is the one guy on the planet, never mind that he's 9 feet tall and has the arms of an orangutan. He's the one dude who can block my shot. But the only other person I play against is my daughter, Skylar, and she's 10. She never blocks my shot.
You can post her up.
You
can post her.
I'm not proud.
She's quicker than you, though, off the dribble.
My daughter, Skylar. Hey, I wasn't expecting that. That wasn't in the script.
I had lived.
My daughter, Skylar, loves you, Dink. She's 10 years old. You know, we went to – Dink goes to Del Mar each and every year, and we hung out with Dink last August, and my daughter, Skylar, had never been to the racetrack, and so we hung out at the Del Mar Beach Club, which is where Dink was staying for the month. And I just wanted to say thanks as a friend and a mentor to her. Not only have you mentored Beth, but my daughter, Skylar, loves you. Last week, we stopped at Dink's house and saw his new pet. He's lost a couple of hamsters. And but now he has a dog,
my first
Irving,
dog.
And Skylar loves your dog.
He's a cool dog. And Skylar's a cool kid. She's sweet. She's smart. She's polite. She's a great kid.
Obviously, she takes after her mother.
For sure.
Hey, you don't have to be so quick to agree.
She's a great kid. You've done well with Skylar.
Well,
but I'm not a proponent of that streak theory. I think every game has a number. And, you know, if you're playing good, therefore you're streaking, you know, that should be in the number. But I don't think you have to bet the team that's been winning again, or not bet the team that's been losing. I think the opportunities come when you realize some team is overachieving or some team is underachieving, and you can take some good value on the anti-streak side, I think, more so than the streak side, which will be overrated mostly by the people who make the number in the public.
Well, and that's a good observation, and that's why I've often said that you want to – it's the momentum theory. The more you know, the more you grow, and it's like the zigzag theory, okay? It's been on fire, something ridiculous like 13-1. 11-1 and 2-0 again last night. So it's one tool that you want to use. I'm a big proponent of – riding
so
the streak, riding the wave.
So the works on who won. It doesn't work that Golden State covered game.
No, it has to do with who won, because the players don't care about the point spread. But the zigzag has to do with,
right.
And we talk about this every day.
So it's almost a money line zigzag. Bet the team that lost to win the next game, not the spread.
Well, no. Take the spread, because they will keep it competitive. Not that they're going to win the game straight up. That's been happening.
Yeah,
that's an added value bonus.
One, so
but you want to take the ATS against the spread, and that's what we're talking about. And it's been – but the sports –
So if you cover the spread the first game, that doesn't count. It counts that you won the first game.
Well, as a case,
that the team that loses to cover the spread is the exact definition of the zigzag.
Right, because what you have teams that are basically the top 8 or the top 16 in their respective conferences or in the entire league, and they're going to make adjustments. They're going, if they have any pride at all. So if they lose, you come back. Not that you expect that team to win the game straight up, but that they're going to make some adjustments. They're going to, and the other team might get a little bit lax. And sometimes the the less you know, the more you know. I don't have to prove the scientific documentation on this. All I know is that it wins. And we've proven it, and we've talked about it long before it started coming in again this year. Now, the sports books will shade it one way or the other, and I'm not saying blindly do it, but with in regards to the streak, I feel strongly. Ride the wave, ride the streak, and the reason is you can only lose one time. And like, look at the Tampa Bay Rays. 11 consecutive overs. My play last night, I emailed to Jacob Cannon as I tried to do my work the night before. I liked over in today's game, minus 15 cents. I wake up this morning, it's already been bet up to 7.5, and 7 is such a key number, and so I'm off that game now. I mean, I bet it last night at Station Properties over 7 minus 15, so and that's critically important to see it before it happens in terms of value.
I bet over 2.
Oh, good. So. All right. Well, great minds think alike.
It's not that hard to see that the Bulls travel. I mean, last year, too, Tampa Bay had a run of unders, and then it switched around. So,
but if you look at the two NBA games coming up tomorrow, Golden State, now the Spurs losing the game, losing the cover, now getting points in Golden State. And the other game, of course, the Bulls blown out in game 2, going home for game 3 themselves.
And the Pacers coming up. And I mean, I know for, you know, John Kelly, who does another radio show, is very sharp. The zigzag theory hasn't worked that well in the last few years, but it's got an overall huge record from prior years.
Overall, and here's the thing, and I think part of that is because the sports books are aware, so they shade it. So always buyer beware. It's your money. Respect your money. But we're big on education here.
Well, the other big game this week, Oklahoma City and Memphis. Memphis goes home, what, 4.5 point favorite?
4.5, 5.
5 in some spots. And Oklahoma City, you're getting the Thunder plus 5 points, basically, off the zigzag theory.
Well, you know, that brings me to my next point. I think we have a wheel here somewhere. Dink, did you hide this wheel?
Could I spin it so I won't be involved in the handicapping of it?
We have a, but don't spin it just yet.
Oh, this is exciting. It's like Price is Right.
Wheel of Fortune, I think.
Oh, yeah, that too.
All right. What's that lady's name? Banna White?
Banna White.
She's a lot prettier than you are, too, my friend.
You can do Drew Carey now. He's the new Bob Barker on the Price is Right.
That's a good point. Yeah. Well, we're going to do spin to win. I'll tell
you. Do you have Plinko here?
I'll tell you when to spin it. But spin to win has to do with keeping an open mind, checking your emotions at the door, and your ego, by the way. As Dink said, this is why I have a shaved head. I took the Golden State. Oh, actually, Anthony took Golden State against the Denver Nuggets. The rest is history. All right. Spin to win has to do with keeping an objective mind. The smart better bets with their head, never their heart. So we're going to feature a game on Saturday. Why? No games today. We have the Thunder taking on the Grizzlies. Memphis Grizzlies are favored by 4.5. Spin it, Dink. Wherever it lands, I am forced to make an argument for that team. Brett automatically has to make an argument for the other team.
It's a push.
Because, again, you should be able to make... Just give me a team.
You got the Thunder.
I've got the Thunder. Okay.
Oh, now you have the Grizzlies.
Well, who do you want me to take?
Take the Grizzlies. The guest, I guess.
The Grizzlies. Right, okay.
Because I know you hate the Grizzlies.
The Memphis Grizzlies are at home, and they're laying points. This is cheap. Again, points mean more than opinions, and underdogs are oftentimes undervalued. And generally speaking, that's where I bet. I take dogs. But in this case, I like talent. I like proven winners. The Memphis Grizzlies are hungry. They've already they could be up 2-0. The fact is it's 1-1. They lost 93-91 in game 1. The Thunder, as good as they are, they're banged up. They're not healthy. Their second best player, Russell Westbrook, is out. So 4.5, the only concern I have, I'm going to be very upset if it falls 1, 2, 3, or 4. But I think the Grizzlies will win this game. The question is how many will they win by? What happened to my ringer? The bell. I see how it is.
She's traveling.
I like the Grizzlies.
That's Beulah, by the way.
Like the Grizzlies, okay? At home, getting value. It's a cheap number. Lay the 4.5, see the cashier.
Well, I get the Thunder on the other side, and they're coming off the loss at home. Series tied 1-1, two very competitive games. I think the number's probably a little bit too big. I think there's some value, especially on the zigzag theory, that is 11-1 in the last two game twos of each series, I should say, in the last couple of times gone through. It's been terrific. But I think the Thunder in this spot, I think this is a very even series. I think you're going to see a lot of games that are decided by 4 points or less. So you're going to give me some value at +4 with the best player on the floor in Kevin Durant. I'll take my chances.
Scott Pritchard, Brett Grant, Dink, all together, we are the odds couple. Dink, do you have an opinion on this?
We are the odds trio.
We are the, that's has kind of a nice ring to it. Maybe not. We're going
to
take a quick commercial break.
Tuned.
You're listening to The Odds Couple. We'll be right back.
Have you ever thought you should be on the radio? Or have you considered doing an online video show or podcast? If so, now is your only chance to do both at the same time. KSHP and the Vegas Video Network have teamed up to provide the only multi-camera broadcast quality video and live radio simulcast in Las Vegas. And instead of having your show played at some ungodly hour, the KSHP Vegas Video Network partnership is producing shows that play from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Imagine having your own radio show broadcasting to the entire Las Vegas Valley, and combine that with an online presence that is viewed in all 50 states and 150 countries, both live and on demand. This is a first and an outstanding opportunity to give voice to your business, your ideas, and your talent. If you'd like your own show on KSHP and the Vegas Video Network, contact us today at 221-1200. That's 221-1200.
Welcome back to The Odds Couple, sports betting show on KSHP AM 1400 radio in Las Vegas, simulcast live and worldwide, Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor handicapper, PritchardsPicks.com. We would love for you to reach out to us on the show. Email us at oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. Also, we would love to hear your voice on our show. Simply go to our site, Vegas Video Network, right-hand side. There's a red bar. Click there. And in the middle of the page, a green bar. Hit start recording. We do have live chat up and going. Thanks to Steve for live chatting us. We enjoy those live chat questions. If you do miss us live, no worries. Reach out to us via Vegas Video Network, YouTube, iTunes, Roku. We're talking sports, sports betting, KSHP, Vegas Video Network, live and worldwide. When it comes to sports, and namely sports betting, you do not have to look far to find frustration. Are you kidding me?
Well, frustration last night was in Cleveland because a ball is a home run. Apparently, it's not a home run. So instant replay. What are you doing? Chris Perez, two outs, bottom of the ninth or top of the ninth for the Indians. Pitches to Adam Rosales for the shortstop for the A's, who hits a home run to left field. The umpires call it a double. It was a home run. They went back in. They checked the monitor. Maybe they checked a monitor as bad as this one. Maybe it was black and white from 1957. Maybe the horizontal hold was screwed up. It was everybody in the building, the teams, both teams, everybody knew it was a home run. They looked at replay. They came back and said it was still a double. And the Cleveland Indians win the game 4-3. If you're going to have replay, then let's have replay. Now, Bud Selig had the opportunity to potentially still change the call. It's not unprecedented, by the way. Remember George Brett's pine tar home run?
Right.
The commissioner went back and said, no. That home run counts. And it did count later on, and they resumed the game later on at a later date. The A's, ironically, and the Indians are playing right now, and they did not resume the game. They did not fix the problem. It was a home run. The A's would have tied the game 4-4. Instead, the Indians win the game 4-3. It'll be interesting to see if this matters come the end of the season, much like the touchdown in Seattle versus Green Bay that was butchered on Monday Night Football. If we're going to have replay, let's make sure these guys have better TVs than I have in the studio and make sure they get it right. Are you kidding me?
My Are You Kidding Me segment has to do with the coach of the year, George Karl of the Denver Nuggets. I love George Karl. I think he's a great regular season coach. And so, of course, we cannot be surprised that he was the coach of the year. Never mind that with 30 years coaching experience, he was out-coached by a guy who has 2 years coaching experience in Mark Jackson in the playoffs. The number two dude was the Miami Heat guy. I don't understand that. My vote would be Greg Popovich of the San Antonio Spurs, but probably more than that would be the dude from Chicago, man. This guy has no talent. They bring it each and every game, each and every year. That would be my coach of the year, the dude from Chicago.
Tom Thibodeau, but you would name the award the Greg Popovich Award and then hand it to somebody anyway.
Pop knows best,
he
man.
Does. And the interesting thing about the interview yesterday with George Karl, the press conference, he was upset. He was crying. He was so happy. It was like this culmination of his career. You would think winning an NBA title would be more important.
Thank you.
Than losing in the opening round of the playoffs.
How many times did Phil Jackson win coach of the year?
I have no idea.
10? I'm sure 10 NBA championships. Right. That's what matters at the end of the day.
He probably doesn't know either.
Right. I don't know. Did Phil Jackson ever win coach of the year?
He's probably stoned half the time anyway. He was zen in himself.
Probably reading a book somewhere. The Zen Master.
I have a question about the A's game. Did they protest the game? Is there a possible protest?
Well, there was an article today talking about it should be the commissioner has the authority to do that. I did not see a protest being
can
done.
You still protest?
Apparently, you cannot appeal
decision?
A review. Is there, oh, there's, yeah, the review is wrong. Yeah.
So the odds were you were watching that and you thought it was like 1,000 to 1 that this would be called a home run.
Well, even the Indians player, I mean, Chris Perez, the guy who gave up the home run, even he said, I feel bad for the umpires. Cause even he knew he gave up a home run. The ball hit the went over the fence in Cleveland, formerly Jacobs Field there, Progressive Field now, very high left field wall. And then you have a railing that is another few feet behind. It went off the railing. There's no question the ball went off the railing.
Good for me. I had under. Yeah.
Listening to the odds couple,
I had the A's, by
Scott
the
Pritchard, Brett Grant, along with Dink. Dink's been betting sports professionally for the past 40 years. I've been doing it for the past 30. We've been hanging out, talking sports on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis since 1993. Dink, in your opinion, where are the best outs today in the islands as far as sharp numbers and conversely the sharp or the best places to bet in Las Vegas? I have my opinion. I want to hear yours.
Sharpest outs in the island are Grande, Chris, which is Betmaker. Those two are available for American usage. Five Dimes would be my third choice, which might not quite be as sharp, but they have a great betting menu. They have a lot of props. You can actually bet this Sunday's pay-per-view wrestling matches. They have three matches up for $100 limits, so they take bets on anything. They'll have if there's a high school football game on national TV, they'll have a line for $100 on that. Anything goes with them. Pinnacle and Olympic are great outs, but they're no longer available to American customers, and we don't want to get into that argument about why the government of America restricts their citizens from
yeah,
wagering.
Yeah, because it's only an hour show. Well, I have some.
They restrict their citizens from wagering, but they take bets. You know, it's like,
let me ask you
okay.
this, Dink, because earlier this week, William Hill got the gaming rights or licensing at Monmouth Park. Do you think New Jersey will have gaming
very soon? I think
eventually,
but eventually won't be this year, next year, maybe even the year after that, because it's going to the Supreme Court from everything I read.
Okay.
And they're going to be appeal after appeal after appeal. They're fighting the Department of Justice and every single sports league. So it's going to be hard to get that passed and in. And it's hard to overturn federal legislature, you know, but it's also probably something that could be overturned in this case because why should certain states have the right to take bets and others don't? So that'll be an interesting thing.
Well, it's kind of
they'll end up deciding how the government will profit by it. And will it be like William Hill will be now available everywhere else so they can decline bets, which they do to sharps in Vegas? So we'll see.
Well, the interesting thing is it's a lot like the cultural issues in the country now, whether it's the marijuana issue or the gay marriage issue. Now the gambling issue I can see is another one of those where each state's going to be forced to make a decision.
But the government doesn't sell pot, but they take bets. There's lotteries, there's horse racing, there's sports betting in Nevada, there's poker all over the place that the government takes a cut in. So they say you can bet the Cub game today in Nevada, but if you want to call a place in Costa Rica, you can't. And that, to me, is hypocritical. Why? Because they get a cut of the Nevada action and not of the Costa Rican action. License these people to run sports books in your country and let everybody bet and take your cut. We don't want you not to take your cut. We want you to, you know, we just want to be able to bet sports without being criminals.
We talked about some of the sharp outs in the islands. Now, in Las Vegas, it seems to me, and I talked to my good buddy Lem Banker about this a couple of weeks ago, an icon, 86 years old, been betting sports since he came here in 58 when he was broke, went on to make millions of dollars, and we are in agreement. I want to get your take on this. In Las Vegas, I've always been a big fan of independent sports books. They're fewer and far between today, and again, it's so critically important to get good numbers, but in your opinion, the best places to bet in Las Vegas. I always say, hey, wherever I get the best number. I'm not loyal to any one sports book, but independent sports books seem to be fewer than ever before.
Two independents I use are very different. I'll use Treasure Island because they have lines that a lot of other sports books don't have at times, but they have lower limits. And the limits cut me down, so sometimes it's not worth it. But I think the Wynn is my favorite of all the independents because they do have high limits. They do have numbers that are sometimes different. They have an opinion. And they're not always like the Hilton, which is a LVH, which is a well-run sports book, but is a little harder for a sharp bettor to find a wager in. So the Wynn covers the higher limits and a different and will have different numbers. LVH, if you find a number that's different, you'll probably regret making that bet. It won't be. It'll go their way. The number goes their way. They have a lot of sharp people. So if you're an originator, you're going to have a hard time because their original numbers are right. If they move and you go, wow, here's a bargain on so and so and so and so, it often becomes not a bargain after you bet it. So I respect Cornegate as a bookmaker. He's great. But as an advantage player, I don't find I get the advantage there. Stations, which I know you're a big fan of, will have numbers that can be off, especially some money lines.
Like station properties. The only thing I don't like, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, the good news is you'll get disparity in a number, in a total. But the bad news is they limit you to 550 to win 500. I mean, you're not able to step up to bet.
Yeah, but that's why you get the good number.
Right, exactly.
Because if it was like five LVH, dimes, good luck for you to get it.
LVH will take some action, but it's a sharp, sharp number, which kind of, to me, A, I have to have a strong opinion. B, I have to get the best of it. And best of it, I mean half point, point, point and a half, the best of it. And, you know, I want to talk to you a little bit more about specific tips for our viewers and our listeners on what they can do to be more successful when they bet sports.
You know, if you have a 9-to-5 job, you better take sports betting as a fun craft. You're not going to be you're not going to supplement your income that easily because you're working 40 hours a week and you need another 40 to become a winning sports bettor. So unless you're willing to work 80 hours a week, even though sports betting is fun, it's really difficult. So I can't see, you know, I'm spending 70 hours a week now because it's harder, because the kids are sharper, they're math modeling a lot of things, and the lines are, you know, we're used to find some choices now. It's very hard to find, you know, 5 cents, the best of it in a baseball game somewhere. So my advice is, if you want to become a sports bettor and you don't have a great job, give yourself a trial period of a year making small bets before you step up and say, now I'm going to be a professional, and you better have a decent sized winning year. It's going to be hard because there's a lot of learning in sports betting.
What I've learned in the 30 years of doing this is, I know Dink's been doing it for 40 years, nothing else. For 10 years in Las Vegas, all I did was sports bet. I'd take 3 months off every summer. I would lay low for baseball and just travel. But I took my winnings from sports betting and opened up multiple businesses that I try to outsource and delegate as much as possible so I can do a radio TV show. Yeah. And because it does take up a lot of time, and I don't think people understand. Occasionally they'll say, wow, you're pretty lucky. But we both know the harder you work, the luckier you are.
Yeah, I know you're a winning player, which is amazing to me because you have other interests. You're running a couple of other projects. And to me it's like, God, if I had this and that and this, I could never be a winning player. My little project on the side, which is a project of love, is that I'm now booking a wrestling promotion, which runs, I'm going to run 5 shows a year. So it's going to take, you know, a minimum few hours away from my gambling. But I don't know if I, sometimes I feel like I'm in the computer, by the computer 12 hours a day, and I still didn't do enough. And that's because I'm doing horse racing too, which requires a lot of replay work and a lot of work.
Your thoughts on the Preakness this weekend?
Next weekend.
I don't do horses.
I think Orb, who'll be an even money shot, is probably going to win. I don't think he's a great bet at even money. There's a horse, Will Take Charge, who got shuffled out of the race in the Kentucky Derby, who will probably be 20-1. I might take a shot there. My second choice of taking a shot to beat Orb would be Normandy Invasion, who was a little bit too close to the early pace, which was a frenetic pace that they didn't expect.
Crazy,
it,
yeah.
It wiped out a lot of the front runners, and he opened up 3 at the top of the stretch, and to an untrained eye, he looked like the winner, but what he was doing, I think, was passing a bunch of tired horses. But he had in all right to be one of those tired horses, and he wasn't. He got beat for third on the last stride by a horse that sucked up the rail. So I think he's got a chance to beat Orb. But Orb was really good, and Orb has been nothing but good, and Orb gets better every time he races. So for the good of sports betting, for the good of horse racing, I hope he wins the Triple Crown.
I was just going to ask you that. How important is it from a horse racing standpoint that somebody does win a Triple Crown?
Yeah, it was a devastating thing last year to see a horse win the Derby, Preakness, and scratch out of the Belmont. That was terrible. It would help. I mean, it's been 40 years since a horse has won the 3 races in a row. And Secretariat. And that's amazing because when you win the first race, you only have to win 2 more in a row, and you were probably the best horse in the first race.
We had affirmed, right? Affirmed did it.
Affirm beat Ali Darby. Right, yeah. That was
so 78, right. I guess it was. But it's kind of like, to me, like that horse racing is another industry that kind of shoots themselves in the foot when it comes to what they're doing.
Yeah, it's the training is different now. So winning 3 races in 5 weeks is very different. Right. But horse racing does an awful lot of things wrong.
This is the part of the show on The Odds Couple that Brett, Grant, and myself will put money into your pocket as we together put you on the right side.
We gave you winners again yesterday. I can't remember what it gave you, but I gave you a winner.
I remember you were on Texas.
It was a plus price. Right. It was Holland. Texas, the Rangers, a plus money, and they won the game in Milwaukee. Thank you very much. Today I'm going to give you another baseball game. This is the Pirates and the Mets in New York. Jeff Locke on the mound for the Pirates. He's been terrific in his road starts. He's rather ordinary at home. His last two road starts in Philadelphia and in St. Louis, 13 innings, 0 earned runs in those games. Playing a Mets team today that is 8-9 at home. I think Jeff Locke at plus $1.04 is another nice value play with the Pirates going on the road to Citi Field to take on the Mets. So I'm going to take the Pirates plus 104 in that matchup.
Before we get to my right side, I do want to recap what I did yesterday. I was on a total. It got there. The last 6 days, the last 6 plays that I've released on this network, 5 winners, 1 loser. Hopefully today we'll have another winner for you. I mentioned earlier last night I played a game at Station Properties over 7-15 on the Toronto-Tampa Bay game, but it's already been bet up to 7.5. They're shading the under a little bit, so I'm going to respectfully pass for you, the listener, the viewer, on the Odds Couple. I'm looking at an American League game between the A's taking on the Indians. The game in Cleveland. The whip factor, walks, hits per innings pitched. I mean, really very competitive here, 1.21 versus 1.30. And please tell me this game hasn't started. It has started.
It has.
All right, tell me, what is the score? And then I'll give you my play.
Tell me who you're betting.
When I walked in, it was 2-0 Cleveland.
You gave him the Phillies and the Diamondbacks. But tell me,
I have so many numbers.
It's got to have the winner of that game. Whoever winning is this election.
All right.
Can I give a game?
You can give a game in 1 second.
Are you regrouping?
Actually, I'm looking
at Indians are winning
9-0.
By the way, Indians 9-0.
I have the A's.
I love the Indians. The Phillies are on the road taking on the Arizona Diamondbacks. We're running out of time here. The Phillies are on the road taking on the D-backs. The total for this game is 8, under 15. I do like the under. Lay the extra 5 cents on the under. The Phillies at the D-backs. The total is 8, under 15. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Dink, you have a winner for us?
I like Montreal, who'll be kind of the better team in the Ottawa series. They don't have their starting goalie, and I think that's what's keeping this line down pretty low. I think their goalies are almost equal now because Price has been bad for the last 2-3 weeks before the playoffs, and he's still been bad. So Montreal just became the better team. They really deserve to win game 4 in Ottawa. They dominated the first 50 minutes. They got scored on very late in regulation to get tied, and then they lost in overtime. So Montreal minus a cheap $1.20. I bet Pittsburgh. I bet them in 5 innings. I don't know if that's the better way or not, but I thought the starting pitching was my biggest advantage in the matchup, so I eliminated the bullpen.
That's a good point.
That's the challenge on this show, because I make on average 3 to 5 bets per day, nickels and dimes, and I'm only at liberty to give out 1 play, 1 winner at a time. So it's
interesting. Yesterday I had a couple of other plus plays, by the way. The Diamondbacks plus $1.70 to beat Clayton Kershaw. That was a winner yesterday. And we talked about the Angels, how bad they've been, and at a plus price 5-inning play with Houston yesterday against the Angels. So there's value out there.
Yeah, if you're going to bet Houston, prices. Bet them in 5 innings, yep. Almost.
Well, and again, overall in baseball, I'm a big dog player. I do a lot with totals, especially on this show. And every bet that I give out, I play on the Odds Couple. I know Brett does the same thing. And rest assured, Dink has the Canadians tonight minus 20 cents. Something tells me he's probably laying less than the 20 cents that is readily available right now.
I think that money came against me in that game. So
That goes back to it's good to be an independent.
Since I'm not limited to one game, I also took the Islanders plus 2-1 against the Penguins.
If the Islanders win the Stanley Cup, Dink will be back on the show and shave his head. Dink, tell Beth Raymer we love her. Las Vegas loves her. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys. This is fun.
Having Dink on our show, the Odds Couple together. I mean, Brett Grant individually, not too impressive. I'm even less impressive. But together, we are the Odds Couple. Tomorrow, Anthony Padilla joins us every Friday. For Brett Grant, Dink. My name is Scott Pritchard. This is The Odds Couple, live Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m.